Today on Real Radio.
A practicing believer. We are all to be believers who practice Christianity. Just like a doctor practices medicine.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. The section of the passage we're now dealing with helps us to understand one of life's most important questions, at least to the professing believer in Jesus. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation that asks the question, are you really a Christian?
Are you really a believer? Born again? Are you really in Christ? Do you really have a former life at all? Or is the life that you live no different now than the life that you lived before? You've only hidden things now. You've only become more subtle and religious rather than having that real experience with God. And Paul, in Ephesians 4, when he begins his teaching in chapter 4, he's talking about the practice of the believer, and he showed us that he was very concerned in verses 1 to 6 of chapter 4 on how we relate to one another, that there was a real push for unity on how we experienced one another, that we are to experience Christianity in a unity one with another. And then from that point on, as the church was to grow up healthy and strong, we were to look at verses 7 to 16, which we did at great length, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That God has added to the body, the church, and each member given a gift at least, sovereignly by the Holy Spirit. That every one of us should occupy a position within the church that is viable, useful, and working within the church. And we went through that. You can get the tapes on that and find out where you belong. In Psalm 133, verse 1, the Bible there says, "Behold," or "look, how good and how pleasant it is that the brethren dwell together in unity." We talked about how it's God's will that that happened by the power of the Holy Spirit, never compromising truth, but by the power of the Spirit working through the body. And the Christian is to be looking out for one another, yes, united in the gifts, absolutely, and also walking in that newness of life. We're Christians. We should be walking a life that's different from the world. And I want to tonight be extremely personal with you tonight, because I got to tell you, I'm in a really melancholy kind of mood. You know what that means? It's rare for me for a couple reasons. Number one, I don't feel good. I haven't been feeling well. There's something going around, and I haven't felt good. But that's okay. The second thing is, which is the most important thing, is today while I was preparing this message and going through the Word and stuff, there had been a brother on my heart for several weeks, every day on my mind, every day on my heart. And I picked up the phone today. I couldn't stand it anymore. I couldn't get him out of my mind. And I like when God does those kinds of things because it's, I call it percolating. Do you know what percolating means? Remember when you're a little kid and you look at the stove and you come up there and, you know, my eyes were like level with the stove. And I remember looking and my dad would get up really early in the morning and put coffee on, you know. And they had those incredibly awesome Pyrex clear coffee pots. I used to, I'm really weird, okay, but I feel weird tonight, so I used to just watch that. I used to just get mesmerized by watching the water begin to, the gas, the O2 and all in the water begin to formulate and boil out of the bottom. It'd form in the bottom, then go through the little venturi and percolate up, and I used to watch it, and then it spill over on the top like a volcano. I thought that was so cool. And I'd watch that stuff, and this guy had been in my heart for weeks and weeks, and had been cooking and cooking. And then today, it was so strange. I just picked up the phone and I dialed, and I said, "Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. We've never really talked before. You probably don't know who I am, but I got to tell you something." And I began to tell this guy some things that the Lord had put in my heart, and I've been praying for him, and just to encourage this guy. He's up in Northern California now, and I said, I want your ear for a moment. And I just spent about 20 minutes, just the Lord just dumping. He probably thought, what a maniac. And I said, well, that's all I had to say. Thanks a lot. I feel better. No, it was great. It was just great. It was just one of those things. And I just wanted to reach through the phone and through words, give the guy a hug and a love and just reach out, And when I had got done doing that, the Lord had just begun to minister in my heart about, you know what? I want you to be more of encouragement to people. You need to just kind of calm down about business and running things and paying bills and all this kind of church business stuff that you have to do all the time. Start encouraging people. Well, that's pretty neat. I felt a really neat liberty in that. A freedom to know that somebody was blessed on the other end of the phone, blessed me back. And it reminded me of something that the Lord, I think, would really like for all of us to do, and that is to allow our Christianity to have feet. But what kind of feet? The scripture says, really in a paraphrased form, I'll paraphrase it for you because I can't remember how the verse goes exactly. It's in Isaiah, and it says, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news, who travel even on the mountaintops, bringing the word of God to places and to people. Christianity needs to have feet. It needs to walk. And right here in verse 17 of Ephesians 4, it says, this I say therefore, and testify in the word, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And he goes on, and he goes all the way to chapter 6, verse 9, on this thought about how the Christian is to operate in a way of godly conduct. And I thought about this today in light of the things that are going on in my life and the things that are important to me right now. And I just jotted a few things down about the practice of a believer. And I had to laugh for a moment because I thought about the practice. You go to a doctor. I went to the dentist today. And this dentist practices, what does he practice? Dentistry. I've only been to the dentist 5 times in my life. Today was the 6th time. And I told the dentist, I said, well, here we go. I said, listen, I haven't been to a dentist in X amount of years. I can't believe how long it's been. And I want to warn you, I don't know what you're going to find. And the guy looks at me and like, the nurse person. The attendant gal, assistant, the dental assistant, she goes, oh. And she walks out and she brings in the dentist. So he opens up my mouth and he sits down, puts gloves on, and mask, Darth Vader comes in. He's probably going to, no. And he opens up my mouth and he looks inside there and he just goes, and praise the Lord, he goes in there and he goes, man, you know what? No wonder why you haven't been to a dentist in like forever. And only 5 times in your life. There's nothing in here to do. I mean, I'll clean them, but I can't make any money off you. And I said, all right, that's great, oh boy. And I was out of there in a flash. He practices dentistry. I don't want anybody practicing dentistry on me. It's a practice. You go to a doctor. You go to an MD. What does he do? He practices medicine. Not on me, he's not gonna. Practicing, that's the terminology used for what they do. a practicing believer. We are all to be believers who practice Christianity, just like a doctor practices medicine. It's a lifestyle for them. It's what they eat, sleep, and drink. They gave their life to it. There's dedication to it. And for us in our Christianity, are we dedicated to it? He says in verse 17, this I say, therefore. And every time you know, when we come to the word therefore, you know that you're supposed to look back at all of chapter 4. Therefore, in light of everything I've just told you, and testify, he says, in the Lord that you should no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk. Stop walking with the and like the world. The Christian has got to be different than the world. We are to practice our belief on the world and upon one another. We can no longer say we're Christians and practice something different. And yet in our own lives, there's such a burden in our hearts to cave in under the pressure. Is it just me, or is it getting harder to be a Christian? Is the world rushing in on you? I'm not talking about the world running in front of you naked or something, or I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about almost like a general anesthesia that comes over the body. James Dobson lamented that 20,000 churches in America didn't respond to AB 257. How many churches? 20,000 churches in California. Did I say America? I meant California. 20,000 churches in California did not respond to AB 257 originally, and so it sails through. And he was on the radio saying, where were they? I don't know, where were they? It's getting harder. There's almost a, like, I can't take it anymore. I just want to give up. Listen, you guys, I want to almost want to weep in front of you if that's what it's going to take to get the point across. We're living in dangerous days. And it's almost like there's a drug going on out there, or should I say in here, for the Christian to no longer fight, to no longer war, for you and I to get so caught up in the things that we used to live for as Gentiles. We live for pleasure. Well, how much is it? That much? Oh, I can't afford it, but I'm going to buy it because it gives me pleasure. I'll charge it. I'll do it. I won't think about the consequences. I just want to release right now. I just want to go play. I just want to check out. That's how we used to live our lives. And Paul is saying, don't walk like that anymore. Yes, remember when days used to be rough, when things were difficult, and you drew that line of Coke or you drank that martini just to cope. It was your little own prayer meeting before you knew Christ. You would come home, drink that martini to settle your nerves. That's what people do who don't pray and don't know Jesus. He's our fix now. We don't do the things like the world used to do anymore. It's empty. But the pressure's coming on us from the world, and we need to either bed down into the Word of God and hang on, even when it's rough, even when we don't have the answer, and trust in the Lord. Or do you know what happens? We default and go back into the world and walk with the world again. And you know what? I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen in my life, and I don't want it to happen in your life. And I thought about these things today, and they really bugged me, to be honest with you. When he says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their own mind, it's the emptiness, the voidness of their own mind. And that's where we used to be. Our lives were void. We had a nothing life. Watch this. How does the Gentile world walk? Just watch them sometime. Watch how sad it is. It's sad now because you've seen a different light. But remember when you were in the world? I get a little nervous when people say, oh man, did we have a great time? Oh, when we were in the world, oh boy. I get a little nervous about that. Let's admit it right now. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that sin is pleasurable for a season. Let's make no mistake about it. Sin can be pretty fun for a season. Underline the word season there in Hebrews 13. It is a season. And seasons have a time of planting and sowing and reaping. Sin is fun. Let's face it. There's an excitement about it. There's a thrill about it. It's like a spike. It's a wow! And then it crashes and falls. It's over. The next morning you wake up and it's like, what did I do? Or where am I? And you think, well, it was just a nothing. No, it was something. Something. The world will always make the way that it walks look great. Have you noticed? In Proverbs chapter 7, it talks about the loose girl. And she dolls herself up. And she entices the men. And she's got these eyes. And she's got these incredible clothing that just flatters her particular shape. It just does her good the way that it fits on her. But her motive is to get somebody. That's the way the world thinks. And you know, the Bible talks in Proverbs 7 about the idiot who's walking by. And he sees her. And she goes, she's perfect about this stuff. She goes, oh, I've been waiting for you. You! Just you. And I, you know, nobody else but you. And this guy goes, okay. And he just, what does it say in Proverbs 7? Like the ox to the slaughter. He pierces his liver through, which speaks about sexually transmitted disease. She's a whore. She walks the way of the world. And on the flip side, there's the man. I've read it three times now. This book, I've read it three times. I forget the title. It's by K. Arthur. It's a great book. An Everlasting Love. Awesome book. And here's this girl. I got to tell you, guys, plug your ears. When Christiana, when she falls into this guy's temptations, the first time I read it, I cried. The second time I read it, I got sick. The third time I read it, I got mad. I'm not going to read it again. Because she was kept from the world. She was kept. She was walking and waiting for her lover to come, and it's a beautiful story. And she's waiting, and she's keeping herself a virgin, and she's hanging in there, she's waiting. And then she thinks, oh man, why wait anymore? Besides, this guy's giving me attention now. What good is the phone calls or the letters or the faxes from my love that's so far away? And I'm just gonna give in to this guy who's here now. But see, he had lied to her. He had played, you know, the harlot. Guys don't get labeled like that, but they should. He was walking the way of the world. And what is the way of the world? Oh, man, they see innocence and they go after it to conquer it. Just like what's-his-face in the Bible. Is it Amnon with I hate these halfway moments of inspiration. It's like, there you go. And what's her name? She was Tamar, thanks. She was a precious virgin. And she had her coat. It was neat. She had a coat of many colors like Joseph had. The king's daughters wore coats of bright colors. They were his daughters and they were virgins. And so what Amnon does is he fakes like he's sick. This is not in my notes. I'm in deep trouble. We won't even give tonight's tape out. How about that? And we'll just talk tonight, okay? And And he's going, oh, man, I just love her so much. And his buddy walks in and goes, man, you look sick. And he goes, oh, I'm so in love with this girl. I can't live without her. I've got to have her. And he goes, hey, I'll tell you what to do. Fake sick. Fake sick. You look sick, so fake sick. And when she comes in, grab her and force yourself on her and, you know, didn't take her. So he sets this thing up. Oh, I'm sick. You know, bring me some food, feed it to me. I'm so sick. And then he seizes her and he rapes her. And it says in the scripture, the moment he's done with her, he says, I hate you. That is the world. And the Christian, you can be a Christian and forget what the world is like. Especially you young Christians here. You can forget so quickly. You can forget. And you can go back into the world and you can think, well, I'm just going to play with it for a moment. I'm just going to, you know what, I'm kind of going to give myself a break today. You're going to give yourself a break today? A break? Yeah, where, in the neck? You're going to break your neck? You're going to go into the world because you're tired of fighting for righteousness. You're tired for standing up for holiness. You're losing your personal battle. There's no more strength anymore. Why? You've stopped believing in God. You've stopped sitting with Him. You've stopped having intimate time with the Lord. And you give up. And so the world comes along, and like in that book, An Everlasting Love by Kay Arthur, this guy begins to drop these little tidbits of flirtatious things. And you fall for it. And one moment's fling, first of all, when you wake up the next day, God says, now how was that? And you come running back home, and yes, He forgives you. As you come to Him in a repentful heart, He forgives you. Here's the rotten thing. I meet with people who God has forgiven them, but they can't forgive themselves, and they carry that into every relationship that they know from that point on. And it breaks my heart. And I thought about this today, about walking in the ways of the world. And He says in Ephesians 4:17, don't walk like the ways of the Gentiles anymore. What good does it do them? What good did it do us?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called, Are You Really a Christian? Arguably one of life's most challenging questions, especially to the professing believer. Our study is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, and of course other biblical passages that cause us to face that challenge. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, February is coming up, and we've told you about the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference that takes place then here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and maybe you've thought, well, I'd love to go, but times are a bit tough all around. Well, before you make your decision based on finances, listen to this.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and we will be hosting our second annual Southern California Prophecy Conference on February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. The price has been advertised as $50 per person, but in light of the recent events that are taking place around the world and the current economic crisis, we've prayed about it here at Calvary Chapel, and we are deleting the price of this conference. It is free. It's open to the public. Seating is limited to 3,000 people, but we want everyone to come. So I'm going to ask you to take advantage of this amazing opportunity to hear world-class speakers. Listen, my friend, you are going to need what this conference has to give you. So once again, the conference cost has been completely deleted. There's no registration fee required. You just need to be here at what will be the premier prophecy conference of 2009. You can get more information by going to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. God bless you. We'll see you right here.
Okay, well, you can visit SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com, or give us a call toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.